Attention, this is a public notice from Citizens Disability. If you are one of the millions of Americans who are disabled and unable to work, you may be entitled to disability benefits from Social Security. Receiving benefits is your right if you suffer from a physical or mental disability. Whether you're applying for the first time or you've already been denied, Citizens Disability can help. You'll be given an advocate who will evaluate your situation, handle your application, and deal with Social Security. Best of all, there is no fee until you receive your benefits. We only get paid if you win your case. To get started with your free no-obligation consultation, call 800-504-1639. That's 800-504-1639. There are a vast number of conditions that can make you eligible for disability benefits, many that you may not be aware of. So if you're disabled and unable to work, call Citizens Disability today. Again, that's 800-504-1639. 800-504-1639. That's Citizens Disability. 800-504-1639.
This is the Ray Lucia Show.
Coming to the bat for the answers here.
The one show that helps you make better money moves and provides strategies and solutions for your biggest financial challenges.
You guys talk about a lot of really good information that even I can understand.
Call Ray now at 844-RAY-SHOW. 844-RAY-SHOW. This is the Ray Lucia Show.
Well, thank you very much, and welcome, ladies and gentlemen. This is the Ray Lucia Show. A little late on the applause. You'd think I'd be Donald Trump. Look at that crowd out there. There is no crowd out there. No, just kidding. 844-729-7469. Glad to have you on board. Steve Allendorf is stopping by today. I asked him to do so because we just found out that some of the things that he's been talking about over the last several weeks, the fact that the mortgage insurance premiums on a loan were going down, down, down. Well, as of, you know, Donald Trump signing this order, FHA cancels the reduction in mortgage premium of 25 basis points. So I want to ask him about that. What impact could that have on loans and refinancing? But I start today with this, Natixis. Buckle up. It's going to be a bumpy ride in 2017. Folks, sit back. Relax. We're starting it up for you right now. Not quite as good as a revolution, but no, it's all good, man. The Rolling Stones can't get much better than that. Can't get much older than that either. 844-RAY-SHOW, by the way, is the number. If you'd like to get on board, you want to chat about this stuff, 844-729-7469. We say hi to James Stewart, who's going through emails right now. We got a couple of really weird ones that I don't want to do. They're like crazy.
Yeah, I don't even know that answer. I'm going to have to look that up.
Well, it's not a question of the answer. It's the question of the question.
Questions
are like weird. Like, who cares is part of it. But
we reach all the people.
Yeah, we've got a bunch more lying in the winds. We'll get to those. But Natixis does this every year. This is the 2016 Global Survey of Institutional Investors. They do it late in the year, like mid-December. And here's what they have to say, because I think it is important. And there's a couple of undertones in here that all of us that are retail investors need to be thinking about and discussing with our advisors if we have one. And for those that don't, that are do-it-yourselfers, there's also some stuff in here that might cause you some, let's say, concern. Here's what they had to say. Institutional investors anticipate a year of dramatic change in 2017. A global wave of populism is upending conventional thinking about politics and economics. Boy, isn't that true? Central banking policies, which have driven investment performance for nearly a decade, are beginning to diverge. In other words, interest rates are starting to go up, right? Not only here, but potentially around the world. And that has supported the markets to a large extent, as we've talked about in the past. You know, these low interest rates incentivize businesses to go out and borrow money and buy back stock and do other things that would produce a better rate of return, or borrow money and buy stock. You know, people have done that. Hedge funds have certainly done that. U.S. Federal Reserve is likely to raise rates while other central banks are challenged to scale their asset programs. So they talked with 340 respondents prior to the election and 160 after. And let me go through some of the findings here. First, active management and alternatives are the key to the institutional investor's investment strategy. Sort of like totally opposite what is being pitched and has been pitched for the last several years to the retail investor, which is basically forget your financial advisor, forget your money manager, forget active management, use a robo-advisor or buy index funds and leave the money alone. Well, let's see what these institutional players are saying about that. In anticipation of higher volatility and greater dispersion, institutional investors have strong investment opinions. Decision makers say they will apply a 1-2 punch to portfolio construction by implementing actively managed strategies in pursuit of returns and alternative investments in search of diversification. We have taken all sides on this equation over the years. Certainly, I have no qualms in saying, sure, if you want to put some of your money into a passively managed index or ETF, that's fine. It's certainly acceptable. And over the years, and when you look back at history, you will find that about 2/3 of the time, the active managers underperform the indexes. Now, there are some reasons for that that I'll probably get to. They go on. Almost 3/4 of institutional investors say the current market environment is more favorable to active management. That's pretty heavy. 75% of them saying, you know what, I'm going to abandon the past, the indexing mantra, if you will, and going more for alpha-driven strategies. And a lot of this has to do with risk management. Because remember, when you're in an index, there's no real management going on. So you get to ride the tide up, and if all the ships are going up at the same time, then the one that costs you the least to get on is the one that wins. Hence, indexing has beaten a lot of active managers. But when the tide goes down and the ships start to go down, the indexing usually will lead the pack down lower because they can't do anything to the contrary, like change an allocation to put more alternative investments in or whatever. So again, I'm not taking a position on this. I'm just reporting it as Natixis, N-A-T-I-X-I-S, is reporting it. And then again, investment plans call for increased allocations to alternatives with decreased exposures to fixed income. So alternative strategies, non-correlating strategies. We've discussed these many, many of times on this program. Now, it's a lot easier for an institutional player with $1 billion to play in the alternatives game than it is an individual. Although there are alternative strategies that individuals can participate in, whether they're directly owned or independent real estate or certain commodities or even hedge funds or private equity, those sorts of things that don't necessarily correlate with the stock market. In other words, what they're saying is when the stock market goes down, I want to be in asset classes that aren't going down, at least at the same rate. And then on the interest rate side, they're all selling out to the fact that the economy is getting better and the Fed is, well, the Fed by their own admission, is positioned for maybe several interest rate increases over the next couple of years. And that does not bode well for fixed income securities. They go on, economics and politics add up to volatility. After 7 years marked by only sporadic bouts of volatility, here's what's interesting about that. If you ask the average person, they would say, oh, God, this market's been so dang volatile. It really hasn't. It really has not. If you've gotten used to this as volatility, then you better screw the old helmet on pretty tight. Because if we get back to what we in the business would call volatility, it's a lot worse than what you've experienced. And so therefore, you need to make sure that you have a plan in place and you know exactly what you're going to do or not do when extreme volatility comes back. That's like extreme vetting, by the way. On the economic front, central bank monetary policies have kept volatility artificially low for close to a decade. But now it's poised for a change, at least in the U.S., as the Federal Reserve looks to increase interest rates. Simply put, volatility may actually be the byproduct of the market perception that central banks are no longer delevering the so-called Yellen Bernanke put option on assets in which accommodative monetary policies has resulted in the perception of downside protection for risk assets. Translation, low interest rates, kept low, some would argue artificially so, has kept the volatility down and the markets soaring, really, for the last decade, X about, you know, a 10-month period of time. On the geopolitical side, the Brexit, a Trump presidency, and Italy's no vote on constitutional reforms are emblematic of the forces of change that could contribute to heightened volatility. I don't think there's any question about that, because we're seeing really a cataclysmic change. Britain's exit from the Eurozone. That's cataclysmic. A Donald Trump winning when everybody on the planet, except Putin maybe, thought that he would get creamed by Hillary Clinton. So to expect volatility would be, I think, this year, the norm. Now, I want to talk about that and interest rates when Steve Allendorf joins us, but there's a lot more ahead when we talk about active versus passive management. Stick around.
Have you written a book and want to get it published? Then call Page Publishing ASAP. We're looking for authors of all types of books. And unlike most publishers, Page Publishing will take the time to review each and every book submitted to us. And we'll give you our feedback. And if we like what we read, we will get your book into bookstores and for sale online at Amazon, the Apple iTunes Store, Barnes & Noble, and other outlets. We handle everything. Editing, cover design, copyright protection, printing, publicity, and distribution. So if you've written a novel, children's book, cookbook, inspirational work, poetry, or a biography and want to get it published, call Page Publishing now for your free author submission kit. Your road to fame and fortune could very well start with this simple phone call.
888-785-0618. 888-785-0618. 888-785-0618. That's 888-785-0618.
This alert just came in. This special announcement is for business owners and leaders of organizations who've been waiting for the right time to build. General Steel has made it impossible to wait any longer with rock-bottom prices that could save you thousands. That's right, General Steel, America's leader in pre-engineered structures, is offering buildings at prices you will never see again. Don't miss these prices. A 50 by 100 for under $30,000. You heard right. That's 5,000 square feet under $30,000. Manufacturers, if you need a larger building, try a 100 by 100 commercial building for $129,000. You can't afford to rent with these prices. Imagine a 70 by 100 foot church building for under $69,000. With the economy improving and interest rates still at historic lows, you can't afford to wait.
Call 800-605-5370, 800-605-5370, call 800-605-5370.
Do you have an old car sitting in your driveway? How would you like to learn a hassle-free way to get rid of it, help kids in need, and get a great tax donation in the process? It's real easy. One simple free call to our car donation hotline is all it takes. Call the Neshama Foundation
at 800-721-6723, 800-721-6723.
We'll come pick your car up for free and give you a tax donation for the full value of the car, running or not. The value of your unwanted car will go to help kids in need. It's fast and easy. Just call us and your car will be gone and on its way to helping children in 48 hours. And you get a nice tax deduction. Call the Neshama Foundation now to get rid of your car, help kids, and get a tax write-off.
Call 800-721-6723, 800-721-6723, 800-721-6723. That's 800-721-6723.
National Funding Group has just released $100 million in easy access small business funding to businesses that gross at least $100,000 a year. You can have fast access up to $500,000 in new business capital in as little as 48 hours. Think about the ways you could grow your business if you had up to a $500,000 cash infusion. Call a NFG funding expert now. The process is easy. It only takes about 5 minutes. Then our management-owned lending team looks at your application for a fast approval. You can get 100% funded in about 2 days. If you need up to $500,000 in working capital to run your business and you gross at least $100,000 a year, call NFG and apply today. 800-296-1564. 800-296-1564. 800-296-1564. That's 800-296.
Biz Talk Radio.
So I'm talking about the Natixis Global Survey of Institutional Investors. Those are the big dogs out there that are managing billions, in fact, possibly hundreds of billions of dollars, and what they think about the investment markets going forward in 2017. But there's a lot here that individual investors can also take away. And in fact, they have a whole paragraph on it. Let me read this to you, and then we'll discuss a little bit. A word of caution, they go on, for individual investors. While institutional investors have specific objectives for passive investments, they see potential problems for individual investors who have come to rely heavily on indexing. 75% say individuals are unaware of the risks of indexing, and 75% say individuals have a false sense of security about indexing. In essence, it's important to avoid transferring greater benefits from the index feature of market exposure at lower cost. Index funds still leave investors exposed to market risk. That is so true, because what's happened over the last, I don't know, decade or so, maybe even more, is so many investors, I mean, literally trillion, I think Vanguard alone is over $1 trillion sitting in index funds. Now, for those that don't understand how indexing works, it's a passive investment style, and it's very inexpensive because you don't have to pay somebody to watch over your money or to do any kind of coaching or to keep you invested during the tough times or fill in the blank. Now, that particular strategy has worked very, very well in comparison to most, not all, most active portfolios. But I would venture this guess: most active portfolios are closet indexers. Let's see what else they have to say about this. I read it early this morning, and I thought it was quite interesting. Doggone, I can't find... Basically, what they're saying in this Natixis Global, it's too long to read you the whole thing, but what they're essentially saying is that because those that have jumped on the indexing bandwagon don't understand the fact that when the markets go down, the whole index goes down, and there's no level of protection. For example, there's usually no cash in a portfolio. With a money manager, there's a certain element of cash, and that cash can be used to either, you know, hedge, if you will, the lower rates of return, or that cash can be put to work in the event the market does drop and they can buy at a lower rate. But more critically than that, the individual investor, and to a large extent, some of the robo-investors and institutional investors will tend to have algorithms that sell, that trigger a sale at the point where a market goes down. individuals have that trigger in their brain. They don't know it, but they have that trigger in their brain. Now, when people and institutions and computers and robos all start to sell, that exacerbates the decline. Because who's buying on the other side? If all of the indexes are selling, where are the buyers? Where are the buyers? So then I have an article here that I read in preparation for this, a billionaire's warning on index funds. Now this goes back to March 31, 2015. Charlie Munger, Warren Buffett's right-hand man at Berkshire Hathaway, fired a warning on the rapid rise of index funds. Index funds, he says, will be permanent owners who can never sell. That will give them power they are not likely to use well. No, the index fund doesn't sell. It's the individual that sells. So the individual says, get me out. I'm losing so much money. Like back in 2008. What does the computer have to do? Because remember, these are managed by a computer. What does the robo-advisor have to do? It's all managed by a computer. They have to sell, sell, sell at market prices. And one sale leads to another sale, which leads to another sale. Because if there aren't any active managers left, who's buying? Who's buying? Who's saying, man, God, Apple's gone down 28%. I think that's a pretty good price as an entry level for me. That's what active managers do. So this is a phenomenon that we've never experienced, and I haven't in my 40 years. It's never happened because indexing's been around for a long, 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 long time, but not so prevalent as it is today. And Jim, with the advent of the robo-advisor now, they're buying exchange-traded funds, which are tantamount to more indexing. And there's billions and billions of dollars. Young people all across America, around the world, have gravitated because they've grown up with computers. They've grown up with algorithms and Ubers and Facebooks and Amazons and the technology revolution. So they're really attracted to this. Let me go online and I'll fill out a risk questionnaire, and that'll put me into a category of a stock and bond mix. And because I'm too busy playing games on my iPhone to think about my portfolio or my retirement or whatever, I'm going to let some robot take care of it. Now, I'm all for robots. My wife just bought one to sweep up the floor, and it's amazing. I mean, it's amazing what technology can do, whether it's, you know, vacuuming the floor while you're out, you know, shopping, or whether it's managing a portfolio. It's pretty incredible what the technology can do. But the technology does not manage one's brain. And that's the rub. Now, Jim, you've got experience with a lot of these questionnaires. Here's my experience. My experience is I sit down with you and we do a risk questionnaire. And I ask you all the questions and you give me the answers. Like I say, if the stock market dropped 20%, would you A, turn tail and run, B, buy and hold, C, invest more? And you invariably say, oh, I'd invest more. Okay, so he's got a high risk tolerance. And I'll be a son of a gun if the market drops 8%, I don't get a phone call from this guy. That's my experience. What's yours?
That's it. I mean, you can see a number on paper, but when you have to have it come out of your mouth, it's a whole different story.
When it's your money, when it's your money at risk, people do crazy things. So here's the takeaway from Natixis. The takeaway is sit down with a real person, a real financial advisor who has a real relationship with real portfolio managers, and construct a portfolio that, if you prefer indexing, that is both indexed and actively managed, but centers around your personal financial plan. And hopefully risk tolerance, because they're not just filling out a questionnaire, they're getting inside your head. Steve Allador coming up next. Stick around.
Now, the club for Biz Talk Radio listeners and your biz. The Biz TV Club is where you can watch some of your favorite Biz Talk Radio hosts and others on the go, on demand, on Android, desktop, Roku, and more. Never miss an episode of your favorite Biz TV shows and have the 24/7 Biz Talk Radio stream at your fingertips. Watch anytime, anywhere for just $5.95 a month with a free trial by using promo code RADIO. Go to bizradioclub.com.
Delivery from Staples.
Staples guy. More storage bins? Great.
And you saved a ton with Staples' 110% price match guarantee.
I am resolved to getting organized this year. Now everything is boxed up and put away.
Hello?
What was that?
Oh, no. I boxed up Paul again.
Resolve to get organized at Staples. Visit staples.com/coupons and get your coupon for 20% off select office supplies.
Applies to regular priced items only. Cannot be combined with other offers. Excludes ink and toner. Restrictions apply. Ends 1/29/17. Staples will match prices for items from retailers with online and retail stores and refund 10% of the difference. See store staples.com for details.
How old are you? 25, 35, 50, or older? If you have pain, we can help. Do your knees hurt?
Ow.
Let me ask you again. Are your knees killing you?
Oh, yeah. Are they ever?
What about your back? When you bend over, does it feel like this? How about when you get out of bed in the morning? If you're like me, your knees and back feel like this.
Oh, that hurts.
I found a company called the Pain Relief Hotline. They specialize in ways to treat your knee, back, and neck pain without surgery or taking medications. The good news is if you have insurance, you may have little or no cost or out-of-pocket expense. I've used them. It works. Call the Pain Relief Hotline now for free information. 800-303-4607. 800-303-4607. Call now. 800-303-4607. That's 800-303-4607.
Do you owe $10,000 or more on at least two federal student loans? Then you may qualify for new programs offered by the Department of Education. These programs can reduce your interest, lower your payments, and possibly qualify you for loan forgiveness. If you have $10,000 or more and at least two federal student loans and currently not in school, you may qualify for one of these programs. Call now to check your eligibility. Student loan advisors are standing by to help you determine if you qualify for these new programs. They can help you reduce your interest, lower your payment, and even forgive a portion of your student loan debt. Take control of your financial future. Make this free 5-minute free call now to Nationwide Student Loans and learn how you can reduce your student loan debt.
800-439-1588. 800-439-1588. 800-439-1588. 800-439-1588.
Are you ready to leave your corporate job behind and be your own boss? Have you ever dreamed of owning a business? Do you have $50,000 or more sitting around in a 401k? If you answered yes, it's time to invest in yourself by buying or starting a business or franchise. IRS code allows you to use money in a 401k to invest in a business with absolutely no penalties or taxes. At Guided Financial, we've helped more than 11,000 entrepreneurs invest $3 billion in retirement assets into the small businesses and franchises of their dreams. So if you've got $50,000 or more in a 401k and you're looking for a way to start a business, call Guided Financial now for free information and to learn more. Operators are standing by for your call. 800-570-6630. 800-570-6630. 800-570-6630. That's 800-570-6630.
I live alone and rarely have visitors. So when I slipped and fell in the kitchen last month and couldn't get to a phone, I knew I was in trouble.
Help!
I could barely move.
Help!
I tried calling for help, but no one could hear me. As I lay there, I couldn't help but think of my kids and grandkids having to go on without me. I was terrified. It took 8 hours for my neighbor to find me. It could have been the end of me. That's when I knew I needed Life Alert. With just one press of this button, I'm connected to the Life Alert Center, where I can get the help I need, even when I cannot reach a phone. With Life Alert, I'm never alone.
For a free Life Alert brochure, call 800-635-4993. That's 800-635-4993. Call now at 800-635-4993 to get a free brochure. 800-635-4993.
Biz Talk Radio.
Magic Man is here, Steve Allendort. Welcome to the program, Steve. I've been dying to ask you this question. By the way, how you doing?
I'm doing well. Good. Fought the traffic to get in here, but I made it.
You did, and thank you for that. So here's the question. Donald Trump, first of all, he moves the Martin Luther King bust out of the Oval Office.
Okay.
Not. And now he's being accused of raising the mortgage insurance premium to screw the little guy out of, getting mortgages.
So
how much of both of those stories are true?
Well, I haven't followed the first story, so I'm going to rely on your input on that.
That was a joke.
Yeah, right? I know that was.
So he didn't do that.
So here's what happened. The outgoing HUD representative, Julian Castro, before leaving office, decided that, okay, what we're going to do.
When did he leave office?
I'm assuming it was just a couple of weeks ago.
Okay.
And I think Ben Carson is the new
rep who's
moved in.
Okay.
And what they did is they did an announcement that FHA was going to lower their monthly mortgage insurance premium by 0.25%. Then beginning, I think, of this week, we started receiving memos going, whoa, we're putting this on hold. The reason is we want to look more into to make sure that there's enough in our reserve fund in order to do that. I mean, just as early as 2013, a little bit more than 3 years ago, they were close to bankrupt and required a $1.7 billion bailout to reinfuse that fund. So the concern out there is, let's make sure there's enough money in that fund so that if they do lower that mortgage insurance, whether it happen in the next month or they wait a little bit longer to make sure the fund gets a little bit healthier, that's one of the reasons that they decided to wait. Let's take a look at this before we completely implement it. And then I started reading in the newspapers and on the internet that Trump has taken away that 0.25% and has hurt a lot of homeowners.
Well, that's what I said that during this program.
Yeah.
I said it was all Donald Trump. It's his fault.
Yeah. I think that there was a little bit of either exuberance in the outgoing individual. Or, you know, I'm not a conspiracy theory kind of a guy, but, you know, it just, this is something that we haven't seen before. So at this point, here's what's going to happen. The mortgage insurance rates are going to be where they were before the supposed decrease.
A quarter point higher.
Yeah. Is it going to hurt people? It will affect certain people as far as how much they can qualify for in a mortgage. The whole idea of that 0.25% drop is it did make FHA loans way more attractive in relation to a conventional loan with low money down and a little bit lower credit scores. Because with conventional loans, less than 20% down, if you've got credit scores over 740, 780, I think I priced a 5% down conventional loan with good credit scores. In the past, the mortgage insurance on a conventional loan would have been about 0.8 or 0.9. It was only 0.4%. So conventional loans have stepped to the plate over the last year in reducing the mortgage insurance premium for people with excellent credit. The FHA loans were good for those people with smaller down, maybe lower credit scores. FHA allows you to qualify at a higher what's called debt-to-income ratio, so you could potentially qualify for more home on an FHA loan than you can on a conventional loan.
But does that not increase the risk to the taxpayer, and that's why you have this fund in the first place?
Absolutely. It's based on, in case of default, that money's there to help with any of the backlash of a property being foreclosed, if the lenders aren't getting paid because there's more owed on the property than what it's worth.
So this should not be politicized. This is just a fact of life. It's like if you're overweight, you probably should pay more for health care coverage than if you're not overweight.
Or eat less.
Or eat less. Or, if you have diabetes or whatever.
Right.
Again, if you're going to try to level the playing field for everyone, then sooner or later, the healthy people, the people with good credit, get screwed by the people with bad credit. Isn't that, am I missing something here?
I mean, the fear was when they decided to say, wait, let's hold off, let's take a look at it, is they didn't want to implement something where potentially there could be an implosion in that fund. That there, you know, we don't want to see, and I don't think anybody wants to see any more bailouts or any more really bad things that happen in the mortgage industry as far as, you know, things just not working the way they should be.
So so where are rates then? Let's sort of baseline this thing.
You know, they've held pretty steady. I mean, it's interesting because we'll see a good improvement one day and then it'll come back the next day. So about the same as last week.
Like 4.8?
30-year fixed, 4.1, 4.2. The 15-year in the mid-threes, the 7-year fixed in the mid-threes. So we had that big move up, but they've held fairly steady.
Okay, so I want to talk about that 7-year fix because we rarely discuss that, and you know I love that loan. Whether it's fully amortized over 30 or even interest only, I still love the loan because 7 years when you own a home is a lifetime for many people, in particular first-time or second-time buyers.
You know, in the last 2 months, I've probably done about 20 to 25% of my business on the 7-year. But what I'll do is I'll show my borrowers, we'll take a look. All right, here's where the rates are at on the 7. Here's where the rates are at on a 30. If you're doing a refinance, a lot of times people are doing the refinance because they've got a higher payment. So I've got one couple right now. They're paying out $4,700 a month. They're paying a lot of extra principal on two loans. She called in to say we're going to retire in 7 to 10 years. Should we refinance? What's a smart move? A large portion of their mortgage is on a line of credit. Even though it's got a good rate, the rate's going to move up with the short-term rates going up. So we've come up with, you know, we showed them a 30-year that was, in their scenario, jumbo loan at 4.3, 4.5. We're putting them in a 7-year at 3.75. What I've done is I've shown them that if they continue making the same payment they're making right now, which is twice as much as what their required payment is, in that 7-year period of time, the $570,000 mortgage we're setting up right now is going to be at $150,000. So it's not going to matter where short-term rates are. I did a projection for them at 6% and at 9%, and their payment, even at 9%, the max cap, was like $1,800. So they will have paid down their principal so much greater by using that lower interest rate, so that after that 7-year period of time, whether they refinance, they keep their current loan, let's say short-term rates don't zoom up as much, and the rate hovers at 4 or 5%, they're going to have a significantly smaller mortgage and a much lower mortgage payment as they get into retirement. So that was the planning that we did for them. And it took us a couple of days to go through what makes the most sense. Do we do the 30-year? Do we do the 7-year? Do we do a 10-year? And after all the number crunching, we've come up with a plan that they're going to be able to work on over the next 7 years.
7-year loan at 3.5 or so percent sounds really attractive to me. The average person owns a home less than 7 years. So that would only make sense. Now, what you're saying is, okay, even if rates went to the maximum at 9%, I'm no interest rate predictor, but that ain't going to happen.
And I don't think it's going to happen either. And, I mean, in order for the rates even to move up to 6%, based on where the current index and margin is, we're looking at probably 6 to 8 to maybe 10 quarter point increases with the Fed that will end up moving the adjustable indices. And I just don't see that happening. And I could be proven wrong, but I still think it's a wonderful program.
If that were to happen, we would have some pretty significant inflation and some pretty significant growth, and they wouldn't stay there that long because when you raise interest rates, the economy tends to slow down fairly rapidly, and then interest rates start to come back down again.
So and they balance themselves out. And if it goes up and stays that way, then their $800,000 home, if we're looking at 6% interest rates and that kind of inflation, maybe at about $1 million, $1 million.
Exactly right. Steve Allendorf, it's brilliant advice. You should contact this young man, loanfinancialplanner.com. Ask him to do this analysis for you. You may be surprised at how much money you might be able to save or how you can get that mortgage paid off a little bit earlier. 888-563-1070 for our loan financial planner, loanfinancialplanner.com. I love that advice, Steve, because so many people make the mistake of thinking in terms of being in this house forever. But even if they are, what you're saying is their mortgage will be so low, a higher interest rate on the balance is not going to have an impact on them.
Because they'll have that lower interest rate for that 7-year period of time. If they pay the loan right, it won't matter where the interest rate is. They'll still pay the loan off faster than if they did a 30-year mortgage.
That's Steve Allendorf for you there. Thank you, Stephen. LoanFinancialPlanner.com, 888-563-1070. We're going to take a quick break, come back with your emails. You can email me right now. Go to RayLucia.com, RayLucia.com. Click on the Ask Ray button. It is the program all about your money, your business, and your life.
Come on to my house, my house. I'm going to give you Christmas tree.
The U.S. economy has been getting stronger, and home values have been increasing. This good economic news presents a unique financial opportunity for you. Hi, I'm Jay Farner, president of Quicken Loans. Many of our clients have been taking cash out of their homes, a strategy that might work for you. The smart move is to refinance your mortgage right now with Quicken Loans. The rate today on a 30-year fixed-rate mortgage is 4.18%, APR 4.35%. Call Quicken Loans today at 800-QUICKEN to see how much we can lower your mortgage payment. For 7 years in a row now, J.D. Power has ranked Quicken Loans highest in the nation in customer satisfaction for primary mortgage origination. And for the third year in a row, they've also ranked us highest in the nation for mortgage servicing. Call 800-QUICKEN or go to quickenloans.com. That's 800-QUICKEN.
Visit jdpower.com for award information. Call for cost information and conditions. Equal housing lender. Licensed in all 50 states. NMLSconsumeraccess.org, number 3030.
Tired of paying outrageous prices for Viagra? Well, we have great news for you. Now you can finally get Viagra at huge discounts. Healthy Man allows you to save up to $500 on Viagra. Why pay U.S. pharmacy prices of $15 per pill or more when you can get Viagra for less than $3 a pill? Call today and get 40 Viagra pills for only $99. This can cost as much as $600 at your local pharmacy. You can't afford not to call us. If you want Viagra at the lowest prices, never pay $15 a pill pharmacy prices again. Get Viagra for less than $3 a pill. Call 1-800-521-9579 today and save up to $500 and get 40 pills for just $99. Healthy Man is fast, easy, and affordable. Operators are waiting at 1-800-521-9579 to take your call right now. Call 1-800-521-9579. That's 1-800-521-9579. Again, 1-800-521-9579.
Here's George Foreman with InventHelp.
Hi, I'm George Foreman. Do you have an idea for a new product or invention? People ask me all the time, George, how do I get my idea in front of companies? How do I get a patent? What do I do next? Do you have the same questions? I'll tell you like I'll tell them all. Call my friends at InventHelp.
Call InventHelp today for free information. InventHelp has been helping inventors for more than 30 years and has sales offices nationwide. InventHelp can submit your invention to companies who are interested in receiving new ideas. If you have an idea and want to try to patent it and submit it to companies, you should call InventHelp today for free information.
Listen, I can't guarantee a company will be interested in your idea, but I believe every inventor deserves the opportunity to step into the ring and take their best shot. Put InventHelp in your corner.
To get your free inventor's information, call 1-800-351-1453. That's 1-800-351-1453. Again, 1-800-351-1453.
Due to an upturn in the economy, Main Street Business Loans has pre-approved the release of millions of dollars in small business funding. Your business may already be pre-approved to receive up to $250,000. We've sent out millions of pre-approval letters. We see the economy growing, and our underwriters believe now is the time to invest in your business so you can grow faster and make more money. And we're prepared to give you up to $250,000 to do it. Your funds can be available in 5 days. There are no application fees, no annual fees, just quick access to up to $250,000. If your business did not receive your approval letter to get up to $250,000, call Main Street Business Loans Approval Desk now.
800-430-7570. 800-430-7570. 800-430-7570. That's 800-430-7570.
Say hello to John. John dreamed of building a successful business and retiring to an exotic island in the Caribbean. He dreamed about his sales soaring and all the money that would be flowing in. He dreamed of hiring a sales team and expanding his company. Well, sadly, that dream fell apart when his bank turned down his business loan. Now John is not dreaming about going to the Caribbean anymore. He's driving around in an old beat-up pickup truck. If you need money to grow your business to new heights so you can reach your dreams, don't let the bank hold you down. You need to call Merchant Advance Express today. We can help you get qualified for up to $250,000 to grow your business any way you want. Call now to learn more. Call 800-503-3735. 800-503-3735. 800-503-3735. That's 800-503-3735.
Biz Talk Radio.
Hey, welcome back, folks. The Ray Program. Again, a special thanks to Steve Allendorf, clearing up some of this confusion on, you know, how Trump stuck it to the little guy on his first day or so in office. He claims that is not the case, that the HUD dude had already determined that they had $1 billion-plus surplus in the fund and didn't need the premiums, but they're going to wait and see on this increase. But it's still, I mean, mortgage rates are still very, very competitive. Get a hold of Steve if you're interested in that stuff. LoanFinancialPlanner.com. Got some emails in, so hit it, boys. Let's see if we can get to more than just a couple, if I would not pontificate like I normally do, Jim. You're supposed
it's
to give me the
good. It's
you're supposed
good.
To give me the hook, man. All right, this one you can actually help me with. Walker asks, what is the CPI and how is it calculated? The CPI is the Consumer Price Index. And there's a bunch of different ones. The one that's most commonly quoted is the CPIU for urban cowboys. I mean, urban consumers, the CPIU. But then there's the CPIW for wages, and there's the CPIE for, they call it the elderly, but the E really stands for an experimental CPI. Jim will tell you how it's calculated, but here's the more important point. It's how are you going to use these numbers? How are you going to use them? Because so many people will automatically plug in the CPIU, say, into their financial plan or their retirement plan. And while that shows an increasing income necessity, they fail to calculate the decrease in other expenses. For example, we just talked about having a mortgage paid off. Well, does the CPI impact a fixed rate mortgage? No. The cost of that loan doesn't go up every single year. So I'm just saying, when you use the Consumer Price Index, you have to apply it to those items that are actually impacted by price increases. A fixed rate mortgage or a paid for home where there is no loan, that does, I mean, 40% of which contributes to the CPIU, 42 or 43%. Well, if your mortgage is 30 or 40% of your total income and 40% of it is in the CPI, well, take 1.6% away from your expected 3% inflation rate and you come up with a different number. Okay, that's the financial planner in me talking about the CPI. Jim, whenever anybody asks me about that, it's because they probably went to a planner and they looked at the amount of income they're going to need 20, 30 years from now and how much it's going to take to pay for that income, and it blows them away and it's an unrealistic number.
That's right, because it's supposed to be a measure of what inflation should be anticipated to be. And the problem with these indexes is that it's weighted. It's supposed to be a measure of household goods and services. but it's weighted. Each component, when we have the W or the U or the E index, those are weighted proportionally how that particular demographic of people will be affected by gasoline, by food, by
health. And the number one is housing.
And health care.
It's like 40-some-odd percent. And again, if you're renting a home, that may be a very realistic number. If you own your home free and clear, that number is not realistic. If you have a fixed rate mortgage, that number is not realistic. So it's more, I think, Walker, what the inflation, what his inflation rate will be, not what the urban consumer out there pays.
Yeah, when we say consumer index U, it should be YOU. What is your CPI?
CPI YOU.
Yeah.
Trump could bring you into his economic team on that one.
We'd
buddy.
Fix the whole thing.
Okay, so that's the answer. And by the way, the CPI E they claim for the elderly is experimental, but it does conclude that the older people have a greater impact with regard to inflation, but that's primarily due to health care. But their spending goes down, and as I've said a million times in this program, their spending goes down at a faster clip than the CPIE goes up. So therefore, their retirement income kind of flatlines. Ooh, I know I'll get emails on that, but it's true. Okay, let's see. Freddie. Remember doing the Freddie, the dance, the Freddie? Remember that?
Yeah, it was too early for me.
I don't think so. You guys remember that. Should I invest more heavily in stocks since the Fed is raising interest rates? I'm in a 50-50 mix right now. You know, I hate answering this question because, number one, I don't know the answer to it. Nobody does. Number two, I don't know how old you are. If you're 30 years old, what are you doing in a 50-50 mix? Number three, I don't know if you have reserves already set aside for emergencies or the loss of job and all that stuff. So you just can't do the job of answering this question accurately without more information. Let me just say this. Right now, bonds will be under attack from rising interest rates. And so if that 50-50 mix has done you well over the last 10, 20, 30 years, it's because interest rates have been on the decline and the 50% allocated to bonds have done better to a large extent over the last 20, 30 years than they would under historic norms because it's been an anomaly with 30 years of declining interest rates. My feeling is this. I would look to a mix. If you want to be 50% in stock, I think that's great. I would look to a mix that would reduce and probably dramatically reduce the amount allocated to bonds in other alternative strategies that provide fixed income. And if I was going to buy fixed income in this environment, I would buy riskier bonds than safer bonds. I know that sounds crazy, but the riskier bonds, high yield bonds and all that, are likely to do better in the rising interest rate environment than government bonds. And the reason is, what does a rising interest rate environment tell you? Inflation, growth, that's all good for companies that are higher yielding, riskier companies. In other words, there's fewer defaults and you get paid more interest for taking on that risk. So if it were me, I would cut my bond allocation way down. I would look at real estate as a potential alternative to throw in there. I would look at high-yield bonds and strategic income funds and emerging market debt to throw in there. And certainly I would look at fixed and fixed indexed annuities to throw in there. And that way you don't have to worry so much about bonds underperforming, and you're more diversified. I am out of time. Thank you very, very much for those emails. Remember, you can always email me at raylucia.com, RAYLUCIA.com, to simply click on the Ask Ray button. Now go out and make it a great day. Bye-bye.
You're listening to The Ray Lucia Show, taking calls from across the nation and answering questions about your biggest financial challenges. Ray Lucia is not a registered representative of or affiliated with any securities brokerage or investment advisory firm. The views and opinions expressed by Ray and his guests are not necessarily those of this station or its sponsors and should not be construed as legal, tax, or investment advice. You should always consult with the appropriate advisors before making any financial decisions. Ray is available to take your questions at 844-RAY-SHOW or online at raylucia.com.
Biz Talk Radio.